Okay, as always, we finish with a little first regression of our league. First of all, a big thank you to Michael for arranging the upload of, I think it's 192 shiurim that are now available on Torahway, mostly in audio, some in visual as well, and very grateful for that. The destination of Torah, and it's a tremendous source, and we thank you very much. We're all sharing that together. And ultimately, I thank everyone who's here, because you can't talk to yourself, and it's enjoyable to give shared Torah with everyone who's here, and people who are listening, and the feedback that we get is always very much appreciated. Parashas Vayechi, and we come to the end of Sefer Bereishis. Yaakov Avinu has descended into Golos together with his family. It's the end of his life. He encourages them and gives them the chizuk that they're going to need in order to prevail and succeed throughout Golos. And the Torah tells us a few bits of information at the beginning of the parasha, which we'll focus on initially, and then move on to parts later on in the parasha, the brachas that he gives his children, so also to give them the ability to appreciate their strength, so that they should be able to survive through the Golos, using their strengths, helping out one another. At the beginning, we're told like this: Vayechi Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim Shavai Esrei Shana, Vayehi Yemei Yaakov Shnei Chayov Sheva Shonim Arboim Mas Shana. Twice his name is mentioned, and both times he's called Yaakov. Yaakov lived in Eretz Mitzrayim for 17 years, and the years of Yaakov were the years of his life, 147 years. And then Pasuk Chavtes, when we're still talking about Yaakov, and it's the third time his name is mentioned, it changes. Vayikrabu Yemei Yisrael Lamus. Yisrael was about to die. Vayikol Ibnei Yosef, and he called his son Yosef to guarantee him and ensure him that he would make sure that he gets buried in Mitzrayim. The Rachaim HaKadosh points out the distinction here in these two psukim, and throughout Sefer Bereishis, since we were introduced to Yaakov Avinu, when he is called Yaakov and when he is called Yisroel. And aside for some exceptions which he explains, the theme that he says is that Yaakov Avinu was called Yaakov at times when he was in conflict or in distress. And when that was not the case, when he was relieved and he was living a life of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of relaxation in Ruchnius, then he was called Yisroel. Yaakov Avinu, right from the day he was born, in fact from before he was born, was involved in conflict. Inside his mother's womb, there was a conflict that took place, and when we're introduced to Yaakov and Esav, the battle has begun already before they are born, and therefore he's called Yaakov from the beginning. He then has that feud with Esav that continues, and he's still called Yaakov. And then he goes down to Lavan, and he has the feud with Lavan. He has the difficulty on return with Dina. But for that bit, having left Lavan, and on his way back to Eretz Yisrael, when he encounters the Malach of Esav and he overpowers him, he is told that your name is going to be Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu confirms that later on when he comes back to Eretz Yisrael. And then Yosef goes away. For 22 years, he's now called Yaakov. Upon coming down to Mitzrayim and meeting Yosef, where he's relieved of that distress, he's called again Yisroel. But here the Torah introduces to us that he's now living back in Golos. Vayechi Yaakov be'eretz Mitzrayim. He's now come down to live in Eretz Mitzrayim. The words of the Rechaim HaKadosh are like this: Tam kriya shmo Yaakov. How can it be that in the beginning of our parasha, twice he's called Yaakov, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu has said that he's not going to be called that? That he's Lo Yaakov Ya'omer Shimcha, Ki Im Yisrael. So he says, the Rechaim HaKadosh already explained, Ki Letzad Sheim Nafshoi HaKavu Aboi, Asher Shmo Yaakov Yodua Midibreim Shepirshu V'Posuk Asher Som Shamais Ba'oretz, or Letzad Sho'idena Be'evoi, he's always going to be in a feud with the Esav, with the Yetzirah. And therefore that name Yaakov doesn't go away. It's just that sometimes it's used. When does HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose like this and like that? With Klal Yisrael, it can be this on their different madrigas. How does it work with Yaakov Avinu? So he says that when Yaakov Avinu was on a madriga, there was a tremendous amount of effort that Yaakov expended in order to be able to reach elevated levels of ruchnius and appreciations and understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which brought him to extremely high levels in Kedusha. That is when he is called Yisrael from a lashon of Sar. He's the prince. He's there, the prince of Hashem, Sar Kel. And he's able to be living on that madriga. V'timtza ki hamin hamu'usha hahi, someone who's able to live on that elevated level of ruchnius, yimayis libchinas hadaiga bo'itzavim v'ashifus, will have a negation to anything that has to do with worry, with sadness, with lowliness. That ability to be living close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when one has reached those dargas, says the Rechaim HaKadosh, it reaches a darga which is emanates and is from a place of simcha, menucha, and gedula. The complete opposite of shiflus, itzavain, and daiga. Says the Rechaim HaKadosh, how does he explain it for us, people who live in this mundane world and are nowhere near to what Yaakov Avinu achieved? We have a Shabbos, which for us is a sign of what Yaakov Avinu lived like during his life, the madriga that he worked to achieve. What is that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us on Shabbos a neshama yesera. That means we get a neshama, that's a neshama yesera, an increase in our neshama, an extra part to our neshama, that he says that Racham HaKadosh comes from a very elevated place in the Mekomis of Kedusha, of where neshamas come from. And we are infused with that neshama when Shabbos comes in, which is why on Shabbos we are able to feel closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to feel closeness to Kedusha, to feel closeness to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, make sure that that is a day of Menucha, a day of Oineg, and is distance from Yogin and Kaas. Because Yogin and Kaas are the antithesis of Simcha, Menucha, and Gedula. And it's at that madriga that Yaakov Avinu was called Yisrael. When he was living in a way where he was disconnected from anything of this world, being misaneg with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, enjoying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kedusha, with things from this world, in this world, but disconnected from the Gashmis, using the Gashmis and elevating everything to Ruchnius, Yaakov Avinu became where he himself, Yaakov Avinu Loi Meis, his whole entire being became a shtik Kedusha. That everything that was physical in this world became Kaddish. And Yaakov Avinu was for us, what we have as a remez, or as a mushel, for Yaakov Avinu lived the whole time, is what we have as Shabbos. The increase in our neshama yisera, which gives us an increased feeling of being elevated and close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is what we have, to experience what Yaakov Avinu was through his whole life. Obviously on a much higher madriga, but that's a remez for us of what it was. And Yaakov Avinu was called that Yisrael when he was on that madriga. When, unfortunately, he went through experiences that caused him tzar, that caused him yogurin, that caused him to be distressed, he was no longer on that elevated state of Yisrael. And then he's called Yaakov. Klal Yisrael, however, says the Rechaim HaKadosh, have opportunities to be called Yisrael even in Golos. Yaakov Avinu here, it's Vayichi Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim. For him to have the name Yisrael as an individual wasn't possible when he was in a Golos, because Golos for him brought with it the elements of daiga, worry, itzavin, sadness, shiflus, and feeling lonely. And as an individual, therefore, he wasn't called Yisrael. For Yaakov Avinu to be called Yisrael, he had to be on his Shpitz Madriga. When he wasn't, he was called Yaakov. And in Golos, one worries. And in Golos, one's upset. And in Golos there's a feeling of lowliness, so therefore he wasn't called Yaakov. Says Arachaim HaKadosh, however, the Pasuk says over here, Vayeshev Yisrael Be'eretz Mitzrayim. It's not talking about Yaakov. Yechavin El Klolus Bonov. It's referring to his children. Sheyisyachis Aleihem Shem Yisrael Kisheyiyu Bederech Yosher. When we are living in the correct way that we are meant to live, even in Golos, we can be called Yisrael. The Godil Koyach Habonim Mikoyach Aviyah. And in this respect, there is a greater power that the children have than the father had, in as much as that we are called Yisrael. We're called princes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki Habonim, Kol Asher Yeitivu Darkom, as long as they are perfecting their ways, Yikorei Lohem Shem Yisrael Liyoysom Rabim. Because we're a group of people, we're a rabbin, we're a multitude of people, perfecting our way together, then even in Golos, the Koyach HaRabim affords us the fact that we are called Yisrael, that we are close, we are princes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even in Golos. And that's more. Mashaik and Yaakov, Yedaktik, Bekriya Shmoy, Lirmoiz, Bekriya Zizman Matzovim, Veloi Nikro, B'Shem Yisrael, Kozmana Yosef Eretz Mitzrayim. Until he was about to die, and then because there's an increase of one's Koyach HaNeshama just before the person is Niftan, it goes back to its Mokum Mechtzavta, and it goes back to where it was formed from. So then he's called Yisrael right at the end of his life. But he's not called Yisrael in Golos. Because for the individual, for Yaakov Avinu to be called Yisrael, he had to be living on the highest Madriga. But Klal Yisrael can be called princes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu even in Golos, provided we're perfecting our ways because we're doing it as a Rabbi. And on that he says a beautiful words. V'godol Koyach Habonim Koyach Avien. Ki Habonim Kol Asher Yeitivu Darkom Yikorei Lohem Shem Yisrael Liyoysom Rabbim. As long as it's a Rabbim, we're a group of people in Golos, but we're a group of people perfecting our ways, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us that Siyata Dishmaya that we can feel and be on an elevated state of the Matzah in the situation of Yisrael. I may have mentioned this before. There's also a shtickle.
I don't understand that Yaakov's best years of his life were in Yisrael. The last 17 years of his life, or 7 years of his life, were the best years of his
In one respect, that's correct. In one respect, they were the best years of his life. Meaning, he wasn't suffering any personal trials. He didn't have a feud with Esau. He didn't have the irritation of Lavan. He didn't have the loss of Yosef. On the other hand, he was in Golos, and that family wasn't in Eretz Yisrael. For him, there was this worry. The 210 years of Golos Mitzrayim had begun. There was the worry, how are my children going to prevail through this Golos? Are they going to survive through this Golos? The Daiga was there. Yeah. We'll come back to this and just try and have at least the kavana of this year. Initially, it was that there should be a collection of Divrei Torah and a variety to be able to share with people at the table. So we jump around through the parsha, and hopefully some sort of seder is made. And if there's no seder, it can be listened to again afterwards. Try and make the seder. Later on in the parsha, in Perek Memtes, Pasuk Yud Beis, we have the Pasuk in the Brochus where Yaakov Avinu is giving the Brochus to his children. He says the following. He's giving the Brochus to Yehuda, and he says to Yehuda, Chachili einayim miyoin, your eyes will be reddened from the wine, and your teeth will be whitened from the milk. Chazal say a drosha on this. It's a Gemara in Ksubis. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Toiv hamalbin shinayim lechaveroi, yoser mimashkeu cholov. Greater is the man who shows the whiteness of his teeth to his friend, more than the person who gives him cholov, milk to drink. Shenema, as it says in the Pasuk, uleven shinayim mecholov. The Pasuk pshat is, and his teeth are whitened from drinking milk. There'll be an abundance of milk. Like his eyes will be reddened from drinking wine, there'll be an abundance of wine. There'll be an abundance of milk, and his teeth will be whitened from the milk he's drinking. So Rabbi Yochanan Adrosha, Ulaven Shinaim, and to the one who shows his teeth, Mechalov, he's worth more than the person who provides his friend with milk. Al tikre leven shinaim elo libun shinaim. He whitens his teeth. Meaning, a person shows a smile to another person, gives that person a lot more than if he were just to provide him with a warm cup of milk. And we're talking here about on a cold day, when a person's famished, and he's tired, and he's thirsty, and he's not feeling good. And someone provides him with a warm cup of goat's milk. It's doing him a really good favor. And the person will be very appreciative. Still, says Rabbi Yochanan, that doesn't equate, that doesn't equal, doesn't come close to someone who smiles at another person. A smile at another person has much more effect, and has a much more further reaching implications. Chazal tell us that I think it was Reb Chatz Kotzan used to tell people, a person's face is a Rishus Aravim. Wherever I go, people see what my face looks like, and that's certainly with family members. Our faces are Rishus Aravim. What they see is going to have an impact. It's going to affect them. And the more a person smiles, and the more a person shows that they are happy, or they show the other person they're happy with them, that has a tremendous impact. Just to the effect that we can have on other people with a smile, with a good word, with showing them something that we're pleased with them is massive. There's a Gemara, a famous Gemara, Maseches Tanis, Daf Chof Beis Amud Aleph. It says that Reb Roika Chuzar was once walking in the shuk of a place called Debei Lefet. That was the name of the place. Shuk of Bei Lefet. He was walking there and he encountered Eliyahu HaNavi. He asked Eliyahu HaNavi, is anyone in this marketplace who's Ben Olam Haba? So Eliyahu HaNavi said, no, not at the moment. And then two brothers walked past, and Eliyahu HaNavi said, yeah, those two, they're Ben Olam Haba. So Reb Roika was very interested. He ran over to these two. He wanted to know, well, why they've been Olam Haba. So he went over to them and said, tell me, what do you guys do? What are you up to? Apparently you're Ben Olam Haba. So they said that we're Bedichi. We're really badchonim, clowns. And when we see people in distress, we make them happy. We see people, we go around, we make people happy. If we see people in a fight, we work a way out of breaking up the fight. They are the Bnei Olam Haba. There's an amazing Shlach HaKadosh in Parashas Vayechana. The Shlach HaKadosh says that there's a difference. There are three ways that Chazal describe how people can have a portion in Olam Haba. There's one place in Chazal which says that there's a chelek in Olam Haba. Another place is that mezuman in Olam Haba. Another place is muvtoch to have Olam Haba. Yeah, chelek. Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek Olam Haba. Everyone in Kol Yisrael has a portion in Olam Haba. That's one description. There's another one. He says that we know that about certain people. It says that so and so is mezuman in Olam Haba. He's prepared. He's got his place in Olam Haba prepared for him. And then we know there's another one where we say that about certain people that they are muvtochloi, guaranteed for him. Shehu ben olam haba. Not that he's got a chiluk, not that he's mezuman for chayim haba. He is a ben olam haba. He already today is a ben olam haba. About Rabbi Kiva, it said, Ashrecha Rabbi Kiva, shatom mezuman olam haba. The highest madriga, says the Shlach HaKadosh, is about someone who it says that he's muvtochloi, shehu ben olam haba. Living, he's already a Ben Olam Haba. That description is ascribed to Benoyo Ben Yoyoda and the other four people who entered into Gan Eden because their time was up, not because they had anything that the Sultan could take them away for. And they were called people who were Bnei Olam Haba. He was a Ben Olam Haba. He already in his lifetime was a Ben Olam Haba. And about those people, we said he's Muvtochloish, who Ben Olam Haba. It's fascinating, therefore, that in this Gemara, Reb Roika asked Eliyahu HaNavi, is there anyone here who's a Ben Olam Haba? I'm not asking if there's anyone here who's got a Chelek in Olam Haba. I'm not asking if there's anyone here who's Mezuman Mechai Olam Haba. I'm asking if there's anyone here who's like Ben Yoyada, who's a Ben Olam Haba. He's ready to go straight into Gan Eden now, alive. And who does he pick out? Two people who are Bnei Olam Haba. What for what? Not because they're keeping any mitzvahs more than anyone else. Not because they're being machmir in anything more than anyone else. But possibly because they're looking after other Eden. They see people who need a smile, they give them a smile. See people who need cheering up, they cheer them up. They see people who are involved in a fight, then they break up the fight. That's the power. Frank the Marisol, why? Why is it that someone who makes another person happy, someone who makes another youth happy is a ben olam haba already now. And the Marashos is an amazing thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us Klal Yisrael. He told Yaakov Avinu in last week's parasha, you know, when you're going into Golos, I'm coming down there with you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just say that he comes down with Klal Yisrael into Golos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes with every single one of us. And when he sees a person, he sees a yid in distress, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says kavyochel about himself, imoy onoichi betzorah. About any personal yid that is in a situation of distress, imoy onoichi betzorah. I am with him. I'm with him betzorah. Comes along another yid, and he takes the person out of the tzorah. He's kavyochel taking the shechinah out of its tzorah. He's a ben olam haba. He's now a ben olam haba. He's guaranteed his place in olam haba now. It's kavyochel, he's causing simcha to the shechinah and taking it out of its tzorah. Can there be any greater thing than that? And therefore, that's what the drasha over here is, ulaven shinayim, someone who shows the whiteness of his teeth with a smile to another person, is much, much greater than mechala, than someone who provides chala for another person. I know you like a good gematria, so this week I've got a corker for you. Famously, we know, b'chol yivarech Yisrael, Yaakov Avinu gives a bracha to Yosef. Well, first of all, what bracha does he actually give? If we look in the Pesukim, it's very interesting how this actually works. Parak Memches, Pesuk, Ba'asheni Pesuk Yud, it says that Yisrael's eyes had become weary, tired, and heavy from old age, and he draws near Ephraim and Menashe, he hugs them, he kisses them, and all the Sfarna says these are all important things to do when giving a bracha. When a parent or grandparent gives a bracha, there's a Chibur HaNefesh which comes about through hugging and through kissing, and that should be done at the time of a bracha. He tells Yosef, I never imagined, I never allowed myself to even think that I'd see you again. And now I see your children as well. And Yosef takes his children, he positions them in the way they need to, that he thinks is the right way for them to be positioned. And the whole thing, the right and the left. And before Yosef moves his children out of the way, Vayavarech es Yosef. Yaakov Avinu benches Yosef, positive tesvot. And you look at the Negina, it's Vayavarech es Yosef. And then Vayomar, as if it's like a separate thing. What was the bracha that he gave to Yosef? Vayomar, he gave a bracha to Yosef. There's no bracha here to Yosef. So the Ramban says, I mean, he gave a bracha to his children. There's no bigger bracha a person can get than their children being avenged. The Rachaim HaKadosh doesn't like that. He says, there must be something else here in the pasuk. Because then it should have just said, Vayomar, and he said what the bracha is. Vayomar, it's Yosef. The Rachaim HaKadosh says, he gave Yosef a bracha. You know what he said? Yosef, you should be avenged. You should be a Mavayrach. You should always have bracha. Another pshat, he says, you know, Avraham Avinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I gave brachas to Adam, I gave brachas to Noach, and now, HaBrachas Nesunais B'Yotcha, you can bench whoever you want. That koyach, Avraham Avinu bequeathed to Yitzchak. Yitzchak bequeathed that to Yaakov, and Yaakov to Yosef. And then he says, Ho'elokim asher yisalcha avoysai lefonov Avraham Yitzchak, Ho'elokim horoya yisim o'edi ad hayom hazeh. So firstly, the Arizal asked the Kasha, why did he say, sorry, no, he asked the Kasha on the next bit. And then he said, Hamaloch HaGoyel Oisi Mikorei Yavarechus Hanarim, V'yikorei Bohem Shemi V'Shem Avoisai Avram V'Yitzchok. V'yikorei Bohem Shemi V'Shem Avoisai. L'chaira, you would have thought, Yaakov Avinu would say, V'yikorei Bohem Shem Avoisai Avram V'Yitzchok U'Shemi. Why is he putting himself before his ancestors? We know he doesn't. You read us others. There's anivus. What was he saying over here? The Arizal says he didn't mean himself at all. He said, "V'yikorei bohem shemi, my name Yisrael. My name Yisrael is the Rosh Tevis for all the Abbas and Imais. Yud is Yaakov and Yitzchak. Sin is Sarah. Reish is Rivka and Rachel. Aleph is Avraham, and Lamed is Leah." So Yikorei Bohem Shemi, they should always have in them all the brachas, all the zchuyas, and therefore all the mailas of all the Abbas and the Emos. And if not that, then at least of Avram, and at least of Yitzchak. And that's why he said it in that order. I think it was Rabbi Yaakov Abu Chatzera who said, Hamaloch HaGoyel Oisim Mikora. Who's this malach? Who is this malach that was Goyel Yaakov Avinu Mikora? Was it one malach? Yeah, we know there was one malach that came to him when he had the dream in Lavan's house and showed him what was going on, or how Kadosh Baruch Hu was looking after him. So we know, he said, that there are four main malachim who look after everyone of Klal Yisrael. Mimini Michael, Umisweli Gavriel, Milfonai Uriel, Meachai Arafoel. Those four malachim. He says, the Rosh Tevis of Goyel, the Gimel of Goyel, is Gavriel. Aleph of Oisi is Uriel. The Mem of Mikol is Michael, and the Resh of Ra is Raphael. Those are the four Hamalach HaGoyel, and they're hinted to. Hamalach, which ones? These four who are hinted to over here. It gets better than that. The Gematria of Gavriel is 246. The Gematria of Uriel is 248. The Gematria of Michael is 101. The Gematria of Raphael is 311. So 246 plus 248. 494 plus 101 595 plus 311 896 plus 10 906. Yeah, those four malachim together, the gematria of those four malachim is 906. Hamaloch hagoyel oisi mikol ra is exactly 906. And it's spelled Oisi, is spelled Aleph, some soft Yud without the Vav. So that's anyone gets it six out and they're working it out. That's the reason. It happened to me in school with the boys, so I know. But he says that's hinted to over there. Hamalach, which Malach? Each time it's a different Malach. As we know, a Malach is sent each time on its Shlichos. It's not the same Malach, it gets multiple Shlichos. A Malach is sent, but these four Malachim who are hinted to over here in the Gavriel, Michael, Raphael, Gabriel, Uriel, Michal, and Raphael, who are the Gimel of Goyel, the Aleph of Oisi, the Mem of Michal, and the Reish of Ra, the Gematria of their names together is exactly the Gematria over here of Hamalach HaGoyel Oisi Michal Ra. Earlier on in the parasha, Yaakov Avinu tells Yosef HaTzadik, he says to him, you know, I want to give a brocha to you. I was promised by HaKadosh Baruch Hu before Binyamin was born that Goy Ukahal Goyim Yetzim Imcha. There's going to be, you're still going to have three children who are going to be nations, so to speak, in their own right. I had Binyamin, but I still got another two, and I'm not having any more children. I'm about to be Nifta. I therefore understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is allowing me to make two of my grandchildren like children, to give them that darga. So he says to him, and I want to give that gift to you. Ephraim u'Menashe kir'uvein v'shimoin yiyuli. Ephraim u'Menashe perek mem ches posuk hei. V'ato anash, shnei bonecha anoidum lecho b'eres mitzrayim, v'adboyi elecho mitzrayim alihem. They're mine. They're not mine. They are like my children. They're like, they go up one. Ephraim u'Menashe kir'uvein v'shimoin yiyuli. Ephraim u'Menashe will be like Reuven and Shimon to me. Say the Baalei Tosfos on that posuk, in perek mem ches posuk hei. Ephraim u'Menashe kir'uvein v'shimon yiyuli. Ephraim u'Menashe oilin b'gematria ru'uvein v'shimon. Echad yoseh. Menashe v'Ephraim is gematria 732. Ru'uvein v'shimon is 731. But we know that in gematria we're allowed to be one out. The Bnei Sosos brings a raya from here. Ephraim u'Menashe kir'uvein v'shimon yiyuli. In every single way they're like Ru'uvein and Shimon. Even in the gematria. So you see in a gematria you're allowed to be one out. The Targum Yonison Ben Oziel says on the brocha that Yaakov Avinu gives to Ephraim of Manasseh, when he says to Yosef, "Becha Yevarich Yisrael," using you as the example, Yidden will always give their children a brocha. And what will it be? Yisimcha Elokim ke Ephraim v'chim Manasseh. Says Pasuk. Perek Memches Pasuk Chof. Vayivarchim Hayom Olemar. Becha, through you, you will be the example that Klal Yisrael will always use, and they'll say Yisimcha Lekim Kefraim Chiminasha. Says the Targum Yonison Ben Oziel. Uvarichinun Bayom Ahu Lemeimar. Yaakov Avinu benched Ephraim Chiminasha on that day, saying, Boch Yosef Beri. Through you, Yosef, my son, Yivarchun Beis Yisrael Yos Yenuka Beyom Adimahuta. Yidden will bench their children on the day of a bris milah. Lemeimah, what will be their bracha? Yishavino Hashem keEfraim mechim Menashe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should make you like Ephraim and Menashe. Some say that's what they say. Zeh HaKotan Gadol Yiyeh, like Ephraim, who was the younger one, became even more important. The Kotan became a Gadol, so to you. But that's not really what the Targum Yonis Ben Uzziel is saying here. We bench the child, keEfraim mechim Menashe, you should be like Ephraim and Menashe. Why that bracha? Why this is the bracha? When a child's there, we want to give it right at the beginning, we want to give him the bracha. The best bracha you can give a child at the time of his bris is, you should be like Ephraim and Menashe. I once saw a beautiful pshat. I don't remember who I saw it from. A beautiful pshat. We know there's in the nature of the world, there's something called Yiridas HaDoros. Every Dor is one down from the one before. There's only once ever been in history that there wasn't Yiridas HaDoros by Ephraim and Menashe. Because they had the darga of the Dor above them. They were Shvatim. They were Shivtei Kol. Ki Reuven v'Shimon yiyuli. They're going to be exactly like Reuven and Shimon. Exactly like them, on the same darga. No Yiridas HaDoros. They belong to the darga beneath. There's no Yiridas HaDoros. We give a child a bracha that we hope there should be no Yiridas HaDoros. You should be like Menashe and Ephraim. There should be no Yiridas HaDoros with you at all. That's one pshat. Another pshat they say is, B'derech HaMusa, Ephraim and Menashe heard the bracha they were given. Menashe heard that Ephraim was given more prominence than him. And Ephraim heard that Menashe wasn't given as much prominence as him, yet they remained Ephraim and Menashe. That means that Ephraim didn't reduce in any of his kovod that he had for his older brother, and Menashe didn't have any jealousy to his younger brother by the fact that he got what he got. We tell a child, you should be such throughout your life that whatever comes your way, you'll realize it's divinely sent to fulfill your tafkid. Let other people be successful, let other people get brochas, and you should be happy for them and be happy with what you have. That's the bracha that we give a child at the beginning of his.
This is the first time in the history of the world where there were two brothers who not only didn't hate each other and fight with each other, but they loved each other incredibly well. And that is the bracha, that you should be like Ephraim and Menashe, that you were two brothers and you loved each other. And that is the bracha.
We finally come to the end of Sefer Bereishit. We found siblings who are, there's nothing that's, wow, beautiful. Yeah?
So Mishraim as well. Also both Muslim, those two Mishraim.
Yeah, they were there in Golos, and they in Mitzrayim grew out to be Menashe and Ephraim, which is also, it's also part of the bracha that we give a child. There's an amazing medrash that tells us that at the beginning of the parasha, Yaakov Avinu took ill, and Ephraim, who'd been learning with him, ran over to Yosef to tell him, Yaakov, your father, has become ill, and he's nearing the end of his life. So Yosef says, fine, it's time for us to go, let's go and get our brachas, and we mechabed him. And there's a psikta that says that there's an amazing kavod, an amazing shevach that we need to give Yosef HaTzadik over here. Yosef wasn't with his father. Why not? Elo lo yidiach hatzidkoi shelo rotza lihisyached im aviv shelo yoymar loy heach osu b'cha achicha u'mekalanon. Yosef was petrified, he was afraid, if he would ever be alone with Yaakov, Yaakov is bound to ask him, Yosef, what happened? These 22 years, tell me what happened. I sent you to check out on your brothers. What did they do to you? And I would have had to have said something which would have brought a klal to my brothers. Omar Yosef, ani yodea tzidkoi shel abba kol dvorav gezeiros hei. Everything he says is a gezeira. Omar lelovan, he said about my mother, to Lovan, whoever's got those trophim will die, my mother died. If he ends up saying a klal on my brothers, they're going to suffer. It's phenomenal. We're talking about here the Ben Zakunim. It's this young child who lost his mother at a young age, and the only way that he comforted himself was by being with his father. At age 17, he's torn away from his father, sent into Golos. Finally, his father, 22 years later, comes down from Yitzhak. What would he want to do more than to spend a bit of time with his father? He made sure he was never alone without one of the Shivtei Kol there with his father, or without someone else there, part of the family, so that he wouldn't be asked the question. The Kochos HaNefesh and the restraint that someone has to go through in order to be able to do that, in order not to cause pain or shame to anyone else. And it's phenomenal, because Yaakov Avinu then says to him, you know, I would like you to do me a tova. I want you to bury me in Eretz Yisrael. And he starts with the whole Hakdama. You should know, I haven't forgotten, when we were making our journey back from Lavan's house, your mother Rachel was Nifta, just outside Beis Lechem. Anyone who's been, or anyone who went to Kever Rachel 15, 20 years ago, will have seen how near Kever Rachel is to Beis Lechem. You drove into Beis Lechem, you parked in the car park, and you walked up the road to the Kever Rachel. Okay, nowadays you can't do it. But how far is it? But Kibra says, maximum 2,000 Amos. 2,000 Amos away! That's how far it is. And you couldn't take her into the Yishuv. You had to leave her on the wayside of the road. I knew you had tainas on me. Yosef, I knew you had tainas on me. I know in your heart you always wondered, how could it be that his beloved wife, my mother, wasn't given a burial plot somewhere in a Yishuv? I want you to know it was Gezeiras HaDibur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to do it for the purpose that when Klal Yisrael were going to Golos, they will be taken along that route. And Rochel Imenu will come out, because Tzadikim, as we know, the Afilu B'Misosam Kruim Chaim, and she'll cry and she'll beseech on behalf, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because of her tefillahs, will be the one to save Beshovu Balim Nigvula. And I did it because I was told to do it. And therefore I'm asking you to do me a favor and take me back to the Ma'ar Samach Be'il. Is it not amazing? This is Reb Leib Friedman, who wrote the Sefer Tzidkas HaTzadik, and Reb Shlomo Arkovi, each of them analyzed this from a slightly different angle. Let's first look at Yosef HaTzadik had something on his heart since he was a young boy, but he never questioned his father. It was a sudden understanding that my father does what's right. I don't understand it. He had a chesed. He had in his heart, it was a painful thing in his heart, but he had a chesed. He never said, he never queried. The respect that he had for his father's, obviously we're talking about Yaakov Avinu, commanded that respect as well, but it's, the Yosef HaTzadik had something like this, which an emotionally motive and perhaps even a distressing feeling in his heart. My father has a cheshbon. And what about Yaakov Avinu? Yaakov Avinu says to him, I know you've had this on your heart the whole time. But there's a cheshbon as well, that sometimes the father doesn't need to explain everything that he does to the children. And he said, I knew, but I was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do it, and I didn't need to say why I did it. Now I need from you a favor in that inyan. I have to explain myself. But there's an amazing thing that he had that, which this Rabbi Yeruchim points out, that he had that ability to have the clarity of vision to understand certain things that one can explain, something one doesn't need to explain. One doesn't need to explain everything. And certain things as well, one needs to be makabel. At the same time as well, Yaakov Avinu never called in Yosef, I want a private audience with you to find out what's happened with you over the last 22 years. He could have done that. He could have said, I want a word. Yosef, come on, I need to find out, where have you been? What's happened? So Shlomo Arkovi is the Mashkiach in, or the Manal in Grodno Yeshiva. He says there's part of the Emuna of a Yid, which Yaakov Avinu taught us over here, when certain things have happened, there's Gezeiras Elyon. If I don't know about it, I don't run about it. Would it be very easy? And who would not want to have known what happened? How did it happen? All the details. That's Gezeiras Elyon. We're now at the new stage. I need to know how it happened, why it happened, what brought it to happen. We've moved on. It happened, and it's been 22 years since then. And now we're in a totally different matzav. I'm a kabbal Gezeiras Elyon, and that's why Yaakov Avinu never a sudden appreciation and understanding the dargis that we want to reach to try and achieve of appreciation of the Hanhaga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we've, Baruch Hashem, coming to the, once again, to the end, the siyum of Sefer Bereishis, and it's a beginning of where we've seen the glory and the beginnings of Klal Yisrael, the glory of the Avos HaKadoshim, the Shivtei Ka, who we are, where we stem from, the Midas Tovus that we're taught throughout these parashas, the Emuna Tahira that we taught throughout these parashas. And it's hopefully gives then the inspiration to Klal Yisrael, where we go now into the centers of how we behave, or how we are makabel Gezeiras of Golos. That's going to be the next few parashas of Shemos until Be'ez Hashem we come to the Geula. Because Shemos should give us the Siyata Dishmaya, that we should be able to hold on to the lessons of what we've learned from Sefer Bereishis, be able to learn through those parashas of Shemos, and not just arrive at the Geula in the parashas, but arriving in the Geula from this Golos that we're in as well.